I'm speaking with Chris Yates today. Chris is a business owner here in Paonia. He and his wife, Carolyn, own Studio Bija, which is a yoga studio here. Chris was involved with the renovation and opening of the Living Farm Cafe here, too. We're going to be talking about the gift economy today. Chris is very involved with this movement that is emerging locally and elsewhere. And the movement traces the history of money from ancient gift economies to modern capitalism. One of the main people examining this in the U.S. is Charles Eisenstein, who wrote the book Sacred Economy, which looks at the idea that our current money system needs drastic reform. And not even just our money system, but the way that we live, it seems. It's a larger picture. Chris, can you give our listeners an overview of what this movement is about and why you became involved?
Sure. So the book is called Sacred Economics, and I actually met the author a few months ago. And my journey into learning about gift economy and sacred economies really began a few years ago at a time where I was searching for truth and meaning. It followed a personal crisis, we'll say, where I was questioning sort of everything, thinking I understood the world and who I was in it, and found that I was wrong. And so...
Hate it when that happens.
That's right. You know, most of us go through that at some point. And so for me, I began searching and questioning everything from money itself to business to spirituality to America and the rest of the world and my relationship to all of these things and my community. And when I was able to get really honest with myself, I found that I had been doing things I was told I was supposed to, living in a certain way, pursuing success and defining that in terms of money. And I was getting less and less happy over time. And that led to the crisis. And I was figuring out, well, okay, this this is a problem that we have to solve. And I realized that I wasn't the only one. And I think when we talk about sacred economics, we're really going back to the foundation of economics and explaining what money is and where it came from and why. And when we talk about gift economy, we're really referring to an ancient model that once existed that was then developed into what we see today by bankers. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of played out. It's the money system we have now is at the end of its lifetime. It's no longer serving most people. And so we're looking for the solutions to that, to figure out what is the solution, what comes next, because everywhere we look now, we see crisis. And we go, well, where did that come from? And we're looking for the cause so that we can provide a solution. And it's not a political statement. It's a human or even a, you know, it's a global statement of everyone that occupies this earth that says, you know, this is no longer working. We want our clean air back. We want clean water. We have the right to clean food. We have the right to great education. We have all these things that we all care for. I think we all agree what it should be. It's just a matter of how we get back to that. The idea of a gift economy, well, what does that mean? It means that we come together in community to make sure that each other's needs are being met, which is how it used to be. You know, before we had the political systems and the financial systems that we have today, communities were smaller. We didn't have these mega cities with millions of people. We had smaller communities and we had relationships. There wasn't all of this separation between people. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago where child care was not an industry. You know, kids would be finished with school for the day and they would walk home with each other and they'd play in the neighborhood at whoever's house until the family got home. And any house on the street would feed you. And that was fine and that was normal and that was safe. And now we're at a time where you actually have to pay for someone to watch your child. There was a time where, you know, healthcare wasn't really an issue. If you got sick, somebody would take care of you. There were people around that knew what healthy food was. They could make some herbal concoction to help to heal you. You know, we didn't have all the health issues that we have today. When we really examine why that happened, how did we get to that, to this place in such a short, really, period of time? It's only been a few decades. I'm looking at my own children. I have a 4- and a 6-year-old. And the world that they're being raised in really makes me nervous for them. And so my investment in them is not a college savings account. It's in spreading the word, really, about the alternative that is available, that is already taking place now, and helping people to understand there is a better way to do this. There is a better way to live in this world, and we can bring back those pieces of ourselves and of our communities that once did exist and provided a healthy, safe upbringing for our next generation.
This all sounds a little bit new agey, but for me, just looking at what I've seen of this whole theory of the gift economy, it's really about an economic system that worked in the past. It's a bunch of practical guidelines on how to implement something like this. Can you talk about the nature of these ideas a little bit and why, and the practicality of them, I guess?
Sure. Well, and it's also important to point out, and I've had feedback from people before saying, oh, you know, Chris must just be a hippie or a new agey, you know, all these things. And if you see me, you probably would not define me that way. But it's important to realize that the financial model that we are in now is new in terms of the history of economics, and it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because our current model, in contrast to what we are talking about as solutions, our current model is based on interest-bearing debt. That's how our money is created. And because we're on an interest-bearing debt system, we're also addicted to growth. And that means that our money system does not work unless it continues to grow and increase and expand. And we've finally hit this threshold in our time now where we cannot expand further. And the reason that the environment, healthcare, all of these different things, we're having crisis with water and food and all of these areas. The reason that we're seeing multiple crises happening simultaneously is because the only way at this point to create more growth is to convert things that used to be natural or free or part of the earth into something that can now be sold and packaged. And we're at a place where that's no longer easy. It's creating significant detriment to everyone and to the earth. And that's not okay anymore. Not that it was before, but now we're all aware of it. So these new systems that are actually old and worked great before and are being brought back because they're far more effective than what we see now are much more centered in community connection, in people actually acknowledging that money itself is not the priority. Money is a byproduct of a relationship. There's lots and lots of models and different ways to call, you know, the gift economy. And you've got people talk about barter, exchange groups, investment networks, peer-to-peer lending. Time banking is one version. It's a way where people, there's lots of cities and communities now that have a time banking website, just as an example, where somebody says, hey, these are my skills, and I'm making those skills available to others. So they go perform a service, and they get credits in time on their account. And then when they need something, somebody else on there has other skills and credits, and they say, okay, great, I'm going to go do that for you. That's just a way to serve each other's needs, meet each other's needs without needing to use money. Because really, that's a choice. Money, you don't have to use money to get everything done. It's just now the tradition of our current economic system.
And I've been speaking with Chris Yates. We're talking about the gift economy. You talked about the gift economy recently, and right after you spoke, I noticed that there were quite a few people that were offering up free dance classes, free meals. Mm-hmm. If you want to give something away, mm-hmm. and it's all part of this process of being involved in this movement, how do you pick what you mm-hmm. want to give, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and that's the question that comes up a lot. And I did see, you know, after that talk, that was kind of a record-breaking number of people in our yoga studio over there. We never anticipated it would be flooded. I was a little cautious about, you know, it's like, wow, I don't know if the floor will hold this. But, you know, that was clearly we hit a popular topic. It was interesting afterwards because what happens when people become inspired by anything is they want to go out and share it with the world. And if it's a new concept for them, they often rush right into it and they don't take a moment of reflection and, you know, to really organize their thoughts. And so it's important to point out first that when we talk about a gift economy, at least from my context, and I'm a business person, you know, I I don't need to make a lot of profit doing things, but I want to know what the plan is before going into something, and I want to make sure that it's executed well and it's organized well. So when I apply that experience to a gift economy, I do not mean, at least when I'm speaking, other people may mean this, but my intention is not that I give away everything for free. When I say I'm offering this as a gift, be it a talk, or maybe it's a yoga class, or it's an item out of our store, whatever it is. When I say offered as a gift, it's important that people understand the context around that. When we say economy, it means we expect that something will come back around to us too. It does need to be circular to be effective. If everybody wants to give everything away, that's fabulous. But that's going to leave maybe a lot of people with nothing else to give away and going, wow, that didn't work very well. That was stupid. So, you know.
Thanks, Chris.
Right. Yeah, that was great. Thanks a lot. So when we talk about gift, at least in the context I'm using it, there is an inherent reciprocity that needs to exist there. So when, for instance, you see a dance class being offered, they may say for free, but I like to coach people and say, as a gift, it's not for free, it's a gift. And they say, well, wait a minute, if it's a gift, then I don't have to pay for it. That's true. When I say as a gift, though, I will often add a statement like, you know, feel free to reciprocate as you are inspired to, or pay it forward. And that absolutely counts. The point is, if I'm offering something as a gift, I may be doing it because someone contributed to me in a way that I experienced a sense of gratitude. And we naturally, when we experience gratitude, now experience the next feeling we have is generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's continuing forward. And I was inspired. Yesterday, I was going through Hotchkiss, and I stopped at the drive-through coffee place, the new one next to Hardin's over there. And the person in line in front of me paid for my coffee before I got up to the window.
I love that.
I love that too. And so I'm going, man, what am I going to do for somebody else? Because that was such, it's not just that the coffee was paid for, it's that now it changed my day. I had a whole new experience, a whole new outlook on the world. It shifted my state. It changed my intention. And so I became inspired to share that.
You know, what it really boils down to is we give what we can.
Right.
You don't have to give so much that then it's affecting you, your life negatively somehow.
Right.
Like buying someone a cup of coffee, that's not going to put you in the poorhouse, you know?
Right. It's not. And even if, there's people out there who would say, well, yes, it will. $2 is a big deal to me. Okay. Well, don't think of it in terms of dollars.
Yeah,
Think of it in terms of everyone has something to give. And I'm finding that a lot of people say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Maybe I don't have a lot of money or resources, so I don't know what I can give. Really? Well, what are you naturally good at? Do you know anybody who's in need? Maybe that's an emotional need. Could you call someone right now and tell them that, hey, I love you. I just wanted you to know that. Or I feel like I haven't connected with you in a while. I just thought we could have a little chat and catch up for a minute. Would that change someone's day? And that becomes the gift. So we don't need everything to be monetized. It doesn't have to be part of some transaction. It can literally be it could even be spiritual. You know, if you're going into meditation or into your church or to whatever that is for you, and you decide, I'm going to dedicate this practice, or I'm going to pray for this person and send it out to them, that in itself is a gift. And that's completely, that counts, in my opinion. All of that counts.
Mm. And again, I've been speaking with Chris Yates. Chris, what can people do in our listening area that if they want to find out more about this, if they want to attend an event where they could find out more about it?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of resources, and there's quite a few of us, myself included, obviously, but there's a lot of people coming together to build more resources very quickly, very powerfully in the local area. So one thing that's happening soon is there's an organization called Water Comes First. And it's an organization that it's hard to summarize, I guess, in a small amount of time here, but basically they are dedicated to protecting our clean water, our clean air, our natural resources. But what they've done is put together an event coming up here with some national and international speakers. Pachamama Alliance is coming. Charles Eisenstein himself, the author, will be there speaking. Elliot Cowan, author of Plant Spirit Medicine, will be there. It's a big, big event in Grand Junction that will be on April 20th and 21st at the Avalon Theater. And there will be a gift exchange happening there. There is a suggested gift to show up, but it's available to everyone. So if there are people that are financially strapped and can't pay a ticket price, just show up.
I wanted to know why you chose the North Fork. What?
Personally?
Yeah, because I feel like these are some ideas that could work in a community like this. And why is the North Fork so sort of ripe for something like this?
Well, you know, the research has shown that gift economies specifically work the best in smaller communities. And the reason why that is, and most people that would look at the idea and say, well, I don't know that that will work because, well, those are from urban environments typically with millions of people. The reason it does work really well in smaller local communities is because people can bear witness to the acts of others. So if you see a gift being given, all of a sudden you see the people involved and you think, oh, that was really kind. That person is really contributing to our community. Another part of your consciousness. And there's not a lot of people with a smaller community. You can actually remember all the people in it. And so all of a sudden you might have something happen in your life where you have excess of something or some time, or there's a service or a skill that you have. And all of a sudden the needs of others start popping into your consciousness. Oh, I saw that person give that person this thing. And then all of a sudden I know that they have this need and I can meet that need. And oh, I remember how I felt observing that generosity, and now I want to serve them. I want to go do this for them. At the same time, the opposite is true. If you see someone who is just not being a very kind person, then you are less inspired in supporting that individual. And in a gift economy, you do need to participate in order for it to work for you. The wealthiest people are the ones that contribute the most to the community. What it really comes down to is it works regardless. When people witness you being generous, they automatically feel like being generous towards you. And again, this is the surface of it. This is how we behave on a daily basis. But what happens when businesses actually begin operating this way? What happens when governments actually begin operating this way? And I'm bearing witness to it now because I'm on my third project here in Paonia. And you had asked, how can people get in touch? Well, there's not some website up yet for the whole movement for the North Fork Valley. But a lot of people know now my third project that I'm working on is the Paonia Business Center. And that's acting as a bit of an incubator as well for startup businesses, local businesses. And it's going to become a platform for resource sharing, not just office space. So the Chamber of Commerce just moved in there. And what I would say, if people want to get a hold of me or they want to get into contact about this local investment fund, or they want to participate in these things, they can email info@paoniabusinesscenter.com, and that will make its way to me somehow. The intention is here. So when you ask why the North Fork, why didn't you? And I took a long time to get to this answer.
That's okay.
Well, and there's my personal reasons, which had nothing to do with what we're not talking about, actually. I didn't even know that. All of this inspiration started to hit me after I had already made the decision to move here. And then I realized that I was in the perfect location to do what I was being called to.
Well, I found when I moved here that the skills that I had that, you know, were nice to have. Like, people were like, oh, that's cool that you can do that. You know, I could do a little bit of film editing and do a little bit of radio and that kind of thing. Right. But here it was actually needed, you know. So your perspective changes when what you can offer is actually really needed. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, didn't have that person doing that thing before, you know. Yeah. And it makes you feel... that's where the community part comes from. You realize that everyone has a role and it's an important role. And if you don't know what that is, it can be isolating.
Right.
I think, because you see these sort of cliques forming where people are making these connections that are so valuable to them. But if you find yourself on the outside of that and you don't know what it is that you offer, I would say that would be the challenge is
right.
trying to get those people. And it's not because they're coming at it from a, like, I don't want to be a part of it. It's more like they don't know how to contribute.
Right. And a lot of people, that comes up a lot. I don't know what to give. I don't know how I'm going to serve another person. And we begin with, that's why I say, do something very simple, very easy to you. Say something nice, do a good deed, whatever. That's just starting a habit. That's not everything we're talking about, but it begins. And I actually had a similar experience moving here, because I thought, okay, I'm this, real estate investor who built portfolios of rental housing in major cities and all this stuff that doesn't matter here or apply here at all. And I was really turned off by the money system at the time. Like, I wasn't going for that. And I kind of came here thinking, okay, what am I going to do here that's useful to anyone? Maybe I'm going to go like pull weeds for a farmer and they'll feed me. And that's okay, because gardening is one of my passions. I love working in the soil. So I thought, that's fine with me. Sure enough, we show up and there's vacant buildings. And I'm going, wait a minute, I know about this. And people that need funding for projects, I know about this. There's entrepreneurs that need assistance and networking. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, I can serve. And I just started serving. And then all of a sudden, the opportunities started showing up. And fortunately, I saw the clicks that you refer to, I saw those pretty obviously right when we got here. And I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to allow myself to buy into that, because I could see how that wasn't serving, that was the definition of the separation I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
that divides the community. And I thought, no, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure that whenever I notice a click, I'm going to try to engage people in it, no matter what the click is.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really benefited my life, because now it's kind of hard to define me. You can't really put me into a click. And I like that I know some farmers and some miners and some entrepreneurs and some, people that, have administrative type jobs, and people that are artists and dancers and musicians. And I just kind of decided that, I have unique skills and gifts, but I don't believe, now that I have a new perspective on economics, I don't believe that my gifts are any more or less important than another person. They're simply different.
Mm-hmm.
And that mindset has allowed me, it has opened me up to a certain freedom of relationship. Now, I don't have to look at someone and judge, like mm-hmm. I was programmed to do, that they are more or less valuable to society than me, and therefore I should or should not have a relationship with them. It now forces me, or allows me even, either way, to engage every single person and get to know them, because I know that they have gifts. And now one of my gifts is, when someone says, I don't know what my gifts are, I get to help them discover those.
Oh, that's great.
And that's fun. Yeah.
Very good. And again, I've been speaking with Chris Yates. We've been talking about the gift economy. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.